and gentlemen. I hope you guys enjoyed that portion of this show. In the next hour, you guys are going to love it even more. I got another guest that's coming in for you guys. A very special guest. It's going to be Nate Vance coming up in about 5 minutes here. You guys are going to love what we have to say. We're going to be talking about all things international and why you should probably be concerned with more than just what's going on inside of Minnesota and people running around with guns on their hips that take the room temperature challenge. I want to show you guys this tweet by Donald Trump that he ended up putting out, Truth by Donald Trump that he ended up putting out on January 2nd. It's very pertinent because it looks like we're about to go to war with Iran, and nobody in America is even aware of this really that's going on. On January 2nd, Donald Trump had said, if Iran shoots and violently kills peaceful protesters, which is their custom, the United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go. Thank you for your attention on this matter, President Donald Trump. Shortly after that, people of Iran started to get kind of ticked off. Why? Because their internet got shut off. And then we saw reports of a couple thousand being killed. Then we saw reports of over 20,000 being killed. Now I'm hearing that then it was over 30,000 is what I ended up getting told by a contact over in the government in Israel. And then I end up hearing that it's actually even higher than that just the other day, that it's upwards of 50,000. And now there's even estimates higher up to 60,000. Well, people of Iran are ticked. The entire diaspora from the people of Iran are upset that Donald Trump has yet to intervene because of that statement he made threatening the Ayatollah. And Donald Trump had came out and he had said that, well, Iran had refused to do anything about the, or excuse me, Iran had refused or complied with Donald Trump's request. Excuse me. They said they're not going to hang their people publicly. Good on Iran telling Donald Trump they're not going to commit executions. Well, then we end up hearing that they're actually gassing their people this last week. And we started to get reports of that. People were complaining, say it was something other than CS gas. It wasn't just tear gas. It could be a whole freaking mess of gas that they could be using over there. I think it's a particular type of gas that Nate had been exposed to over on the front lines inside of Ukraine. But all of that aside, today, Donald Trump ended up coming out with a new statement towards Iran. And it seems like every time he does this, it's we're getting foreign policy by Truth Social. And I've got to tell you guys, you know, I spoke about this yesterday, that Iran is not in particular about Iran killing its own people. Let's go ahead and put that tweet up there on the screen that Donald Trump had put out, talking about the massive armada moving that way. In this particular statement that Donald Trump ended up making, he wasn't about the Iranian people being killed by the regime. No, it was about uranium enrichment and how Iran better listen up. They better accept the olive branch that we've extended to them because we've got a massive, and I quote, a massive armada heading to Iran. A massive armada heading to Iran. That'd be the wrong one up there on the screen. That's okay. So the massive armada is heading to Iran and it's moving quickly with great power, enthusiasm, and purpose. It is a large fleet headed by the great aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln. Greater than that, that's been sent to Venezuela. And like Venezuela, it is ready, willing, and able to rapidly fulfill its mission with speed and violence if necessary. Hopefully, Iran will quickly come to the table and negotiate a fair and equitable deal. No nuclear weapons. No nuclear weapons. Look at that. No nuclear weapons. I thought we took care of that. I thought we had that discussion after the 12-day war. I thought we had said that we took care of all of it. The problem is that we waited forever to start bombing them. And while we dropped a dozen 30,000-pound bombs on Fordow, it would seem that the regime was able to move it. But I don't even think this has to do with the uranium enrichment at this point in time. I think it's got something to do with a little bit more. We've got issues with Russia. We've got issues with China. Everybody wants to know why the silver price is going through the roof right now. We can blame COMEX. We can blame the paper trades. We can blame all of those things that are actually going on here in the United States and our own stupid policies that allowed it to happen. But what's really happening is China is restricting their exports. They've sanctioned over 20 industries within the defense industry. 20 different companies within the defense industry ended up getting sanctions. You think they're going to be exporting silver to those companies? No. It's a big issue. And do you know who's backing all of them up? Iran and the IRGC. The IRGC's dealing with terrorism over inside of Yemen. They're actually projecting it, affecting international trade routes. It's a massive issue, not just for the United States, but for the entire world. And coming up next to talk to me about it, ladies and gentlemen, Nate Vance, be prepared. It's going to be one heck of a show.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening Our species is seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Matt Tardio. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I am so excited to be able to introduce this next guest that's coming up, Nate Vance. Now, long before J.D. became vice president of the United States, back when he was a senator, Nate decided that he would just go over to Ukraine and start killing Russians. And that he did. And he killed the crap out of them. Became friends with Nate through, I don't know, social media and a couple other things, and ended up interviewing him a while back when Nate gave me this. A magazine that he ended up taking off of a dead Russian, and up over behind my head, up above that green beret over my shoulder, is a scope that Nate also used to shoot Russians with while I was over there. Nate's recently spoken at the Warsaw Security Forum, and he's also met with world leaders. And so here to discuss the Iran situation with me, ladies and gentlemen, my friend Nate Vance. Sir, how are you today? Thank you for taking the time to jump in.
Yeah, I'm doing good. This is a welcome break from work, so,
Yeah, you look good, man. Well, for
my age, you know what I mean? I'm doing all right.
Yeah. And I don't think people would even like realize, people at home don't know this. I took Nate for a pedicure after he got home from Ukraine because his feet were so disgusting. Like, that's a true story. I did. Nate, your feet are gross. We're going to go get a pedicure and you're going to like it. That's a true story. So ladies and gentlemen, just because you're a grunt that kills Russians. I don't care if you're a former SF guy, take care of your feet, man. They're very important. Anyways. All right. So let's talk about Russia, and Iran. You told me something that kind of blew my mind. I think Putin has embarrassed Trump a couple different times. They have brought up and they have said that they were very close to a ceasefire agreement. I lost count at this point in time. Even Trump said that it was going to be one of the easiest things for them. He thought it was going to be the easiest war for them to solve. Like, those are his words, not mine. He was like, I thought this was going to be the easiest one for me to take care of. And it turns out it's not. Why is that?
Several reasons. I think primarily Putin, if he has invested so much time and money and human life into this conflict, that if you think of Russia, think back to like the Roman Empire, and in the Roman Empire, you had the emperor and then the Praetorian Guard. And if the emperor got out of line, the Praetorian Guard was really there to protect the emperor unless he got out of line. And then they were there to protect Rome. And in a few circumstances, they did remove the emperor. Right. And it's a very similar kind of thing in Russia, where the security apparatus there, if they perceive Putin to be weak, they will remove him. And he knows that. So he knows that if he loses this war, or if he admits defeat or capitulates, he'll be removed. And by removed in Russia, that means falling out of a window or drinking a glass of poison tea. So it's not survivable.
How important is Iran to Russia and in the Russian war effort?
I think it's very important. I think they're mutually beneficial, right? And a good way to indicate how important it was is knowing how hostile America is to an Iranian nuclear program. The fact that preceding Midnight Hammer, we had to tell the Russians, get your scientists, get your nuclear scientists out of these nuclear facilities because we're about to kill everyone there. But essentially, since Russia has been sanctioned by pretty much the world, they have now kind of been relegated to being a hermit kingdom. They've had to figure out a way to make money and do business via countries that aren't them, right? And Iran is one of those countries that's willing to kind of assist them in doing that, moving their oil through ghost ships and, you know, kind of laundering their exports to make them look like either Iranian exports or Venezuelan exports, et cetera, so they can still sell them It's just the money changes hands a few times in between.
So you had told me a very interesting statistic, I think back when I first interviewed you, and I still use it to this day, that for years, over 30% of the munitions that were flying across the Russian border over into Ukraine came from Russia. Is that still accurate?
Or came from Iran, you mean?
From Iran. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that has transitioned. I know the Russians were, building their own factories and facilities and things like that. But I think it's still a pretty significant portion of the Shahed drones have some kind of Iranian component in it, where it's an engine part or something like that. So the Iranian like weapons export thing just materially is important. But when you think about, wars and militaries, they're expensive. So the Russian government being able to fund everything is important, and Iran is assisting them with that as well. But yeah, at one point it was higher than 30%. Almost all of the Shaheds for a few years were directly Iranian built and shipped up there. So
yeah, and I think the pro-Ukrainian crowd, which now is very predominantly left-leaning over here in the United States of America, for some reason, all of that ended up getting switched. They don't think that Trump is doing enough for Ukraine. And there's a lot of people that are saying America first. I personally believe that by getting rid of Russia and by Russia losing their credibility when they ultimately end up losing this fight, that it kind of takes them off and knocks them down from the world stage, and it helps to delegitimize BRICS a little bit. I don't think people realize that Russia is still very much a threat to the United States of America. So much, in fact, that in my opinion, that's one of the stated reasons by Trump that we needed to go over and take Greenland. Kind of your thoughts on that? Because when I look at the map, it's pretty obvious to me that Greenland, when you look at where Russia keeps its ICBMs, and then you draw a line over the globe, a straight line, you're flying over the top of Greenland in order to attack America. And so I can't help but think that Trump's got an agenda there to defend us from Russia. Now, he won't flat out say it's Russia, but.
Oh, I think that that's been implied by members of the administration. I don't just think it's ballistic missiles, though. I think you have the Denmark Strait, which is the body of water between Greenland and Iceland. And then you have the Rockall Trough, which is basically the body of water between Iceland and Scotland. And that is pretty much Russia's ability to get ships from Russia. They have Novomorsk, I believe, is the name of the port up in right by the border of Finland, up in the Nordic area. I'm probably getting all these names wrong. But they have that's like their one kind of all year round Atlantic port that doesn't freeze at any point. And they have to go through one of those two bodies of water to reach the Atlantic proper, right? And with Russia getting cozier and cozier with China, and with China building, like, people think about that and they go, yeah, but Russia doesn't really have a big navy, right? Well, China does, and Russia's friends with China. And they're getting more and more close to China as the rest of the world pushes Russia away. So I think you could see a partnership developing between those two, and I think that partnership is frowned upon or is seen as a threat, and I think accurately so. So I think the administration's goal with Greenland is like, look, we're going to secure it. Somebody's going to secure it. If Europe doesn't, if Denmark doesn't stand up with, the rest of Europe to do so, then we'll do it for them at some point, right? Because leaving those pathways to the Atlantic open is a threat to the United States. And that is, intolerable to the security, the security of the United States. So I don't see a problem with insisting that Greenland is secure and that there is a military presence there. And if it's not going to be the Europeans, we'll do it.
Well, and again, I'm glad I got you here because you brought up China, and Russia has been leaning on China, ever since Joe Biden was in office and the war kicked off. You had Joe Biden sanctioning Russia. Obviously they were getting, cut off basically from the rest of the world. And China kind of stepped up on a lot of their manufacturing for a lot of their military equipment. They were getting garbage metal, which Russia didn't really care about because they're losing vehicles left and right over there. But China kind of stepped in. And they both, between Russia and China, appear to have a common friend, which was Venezuela. And the common link between the two looks like it's Iran and the IRGC. And the first couple ships that the United States decided to go after outside of Venezuela was, being operated reportedly by the IRGC. So when we're looking at Iran in particular, Personally, I don't think it has a dang thing to do with the Iranian people. I think even at this point, the uranium enrichment might even just be another reason to go after. And I think we're kind of attacking this on multiple prongs here. You know, we're going after kind of the, you know, whenever we're doing target analysis and things like that, we're often looking for a choke point. And the situation between Russia and China, we don't want to get in a direct conflict with either of them. But Trump last year had said, if you're going to war against the U.S. dollar, you're going to war against the United States of America. Or if you attack the U.S. dollar, you're attacking the United States of America. And I think that's exactly what he's doing right here, right? He's engaging in economical warfare because IRGC was shipping, reportedly, Venezuelan oil up to China after China ended up lending Maduro a buttload of money. And that was part of the laundering process. And then we had the Bella One, where you have, Russian nuclear sub going after it that the United States chased away from Venezuela, you know, all the way up north of the UK before we ended up interdicting that sucker. And so to me, when I look at it, I say, you know what? We've got a serious issue here. We've got two massive countries, nuclear capable countries, that are both supporting Iran. And right now we're looking at going into Iran. What do you think the odds are of Putin doing something if the US ends up bombing Iran?
Zero.
Zero.
What can he do?
Even with the regime change.
Yeah. What can he do? Right. Well, what did he do in Syria when the regime was changed there by somebody he backed? Absolutely nothing. Right. And not because he doesn't want to. It's because he can't. He got his hands are full in Ukraine. I mean, he can't spare that much. Now, what I could see him doing, if anything, would be sending, you know, agents into Iran to kind of sow discord with a new government or whatever takes over if there was regime change, just kind of making that difficult. But that's more or less to make us look bad. If we change the regime and then that regime fails, it makes the United States look bad. But it will seriously negatively impact his income. I just think that kinetically he doesn't have the means to do anything about it. What's he going to do?
Well, and I think a big part of Russia's income, as you have so eloquently pointed out in the past, is 30% of Russia's GDP comes from oil. And Iran and the IRGC have been funding and training and working with the Houthis down inside Yemen, which has effectively cut off the Red Sea. Even though the attacks on the merchant vessels have gone way down since we bombed the crap out of them last year, insurance companies aren't very happy to let those ships go sailing through the Red Sea, which cuts off the Suez Canal, which in turn makes them sail 10 times further all the way around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa. That's benefited Russia greatly. You know, their oil exports and stuff, they could still use the Suez Canal. They could still travel through the Red Sea, but nobody's going to blow them up, you know, as they're going through there because it's controlled by the IRGC. But once that goes, we're kind of in trouble. And I forget what the dollar figure was that you gave me at one point in time. As long as it stays under a certain amount, price per barrel in oil, Russia's GDP is going to be hurting, correct? Russia's economy is going to be hurting. What was that price?
It's about $45 a barrel. I mean, and it's really higher than that. So $45 a barrel, if you look at that, that's the price where and it's weird. The oil industry is one of those few industries in the United States where we're pretty efficient. We can get oil out of the ground fairly cheaply and still make a profit. And it's because we're not state run, right? It's private companies. So they have to compete with each other. You get a foreign country like Russia, their break-even price might be what they call $40 a barrel, but that's for, you know, some Russian oil company, which is actually the government, to break even. But the problem is that revenue is used for the government to provide healthcare, roads, schools, all of the infrastructure that goes into that. It funds the government. So you can't just look at the break-even price for a company because the government's going to skim a bunch off the top. It doesn't work the same way as it does here. And so the country of Russia needs to make significantly more per barrel on oil, right? So you're probably looking at 55 or 60 in that ballpark. But that's just a guess because I don't know the internal government financials, right, of the Russian government. But it's going to be higher than what a private company would be. And that's like the same thing with Saudi Arabia, right? Like Saudi Arabia doesn't make money at as low of a price as the American. They tried this. They went into a price war. They lost, right? So it's you're probably looking at $45, $50 a barrel before Russia is then having to pull money out of their reserves to pay for things.
Do you think that's why now we're starting to see? You think that now that's why we're starting to see some of these prices per barrel drop? Like I just looked at the COMEX price price per barrel futures, right? And it looks like it's sitting around $62 to $63 per barrel right now over on COMEX. But I've got a feeling once the regime has changed over inside of Iran, if the U.S. does in fact decide to bomb them, once that regime has changed, that the Red Sea opens back up, and that that figure that you cited of 45 is probably going to start getting a little bit higher and starting to hurt them just a little bit more. What are kind of your thoughts on that?
You know, oil prices are not, there's not that much that really affects them other than supply and demand, right? Now, when you, like, ultimately you have fundamentals, which is how much oil is being made, which globally there's about 81 million barrels a day being pulled out of the ground, right? Like somebody like Venezuela produces 1 million barrels a day, Texas roughly 10. If my, I don't know, it's been a while since I've looked, so it may be slightly more, slightly less than that. But that's, you know, Texas is 10, is producing 10 times the amount of oil that Venezuela is producing. So it's supply and demand. It's how much people are using versus how much is being produced. And, you know, the global politics that affects it is things like if you block the Strait of Hormuz and people are worried about access to a certain portion of that 81 million barrels a day, well, then demand, they're predicting that demand may increase because there's less supply available to the rest of the world because you're losing all the Middle Eastern oil. If you've seen a small dip, like 65 is not a huge dip in prices, that's likely due to the fact that the Venezuelan oil that was sold on the black market is, it didn't change the overall global supply, but what it did is it added some to the non-black market, right? The above board sales that you see. Which is the commodities that traders are betting on. So when you look at that stock market price, that's essentially somebody in New York that is saying, I think in 90 days, it's a 90-day future. That's why they call it a futures price. 90 days from now, we think oil is going to be worth 65 barrels, right? So you're seeing the trading price. They're buying a basically an IOU for however much oil in 90 days from now. So you also get into different seasons, right? So if you're seeing a dip in price, you know, like in the wintertime, prices go up. We're on the tail end of winter. So even though we're having this big storm right now, I know that doesn't make sense. But since people are thinking 90 days out, that's springtime. People are using less energy. There's certain industrial markers that play into, you know, people's decisions to say, oh, oil's going to be worth more, you know, in the 90 days from now than it is right now. But I wouldn't read too much into the Iranian thing as to whether or not that's why prices are going up or down, just because they don't produce enough to really alter the market that much. Not Iran alone. If you said something that was affecting the entire Middle East, that would change it. But
what? So, which is going to kind of bring me to my next point. Like the United States, the alleged plans right now that are kind of being laid out is that the U.S. is going to move over towards the Strait of Hormuz, and we're going to start, you know, again, you know, acting on these sanctions because the IRGC is FTO. There's certain Russian vessels, there's certain Russian ships, they're part of the shadow fleet that we can interdict legally by U.S. law. Trump doesn't need to get anything passed by Congress in order to do so. It's already out there, right? At the moment we start doing that close to Iranian waters, I would predict reasonably that Iran's going to fight back, that they're going to shoot, right? I see them shooting at our naval vessels and things like that. The U.S. is going to end up shooting back in self-defense, quote unquote, self-defense. What are the odds that while that's taking place, that we end up bombing some of these uranium enrichment sites and things of that nature, but that these Russian scientists aren't going to get the same treatment that they got treated back in June? That over inside of Iran, we could very well be killing these Russian scientists. And how would Putin even react to that of us schwacking his engineer, like scientists?
In no way that's going to bother anybody in the U.S. military. All right.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to bother us.
I think his biggest reaction is he'd give Medvedev a bottle of vodka and tell him to send out an angry tweet about nuclear weapons again, which is what he seems to do every time stuff doesn't go his way. I almost said a bad word there for a second, but stop myself. But yeah, so that's basically what happens. Trump gets mad and then Medvedev threatens to nuke Germany, and then they forget about it in a week because they, you know, lost 5,000 more guys in a...
You don't take Putin's and Medved's like nuclear threat serious at all?
You mean the 73 red lines that we've crossed in the last 3 years that nothing has happened? Correct, in response to? No, I don't take them seriously anymore.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, my friend. Now,
I mean, 4 years ago, maybe, right? Because we didn't know. But I mean, we've crossed these red lines, right? Like it's like a kid that's like, I swear to God, if you come here, I'm going to punch you in the face. And then you're like, walk there. And he goes, this time I mean it. if you come to this point and you walk to that point, after a while, you're just like, dude, they're hollow threats. I don't believe you. And
it's
honestly,
like the UN sanctioned
kinetic. Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? All right. Cool, man. Thanks. But, you know, ultimately it gets to a point where it's like, we know that you don't physically kinetically have the ability to do anything about it. So I don't care what you say.
Okay. So here's another question that I have for you, and is based off of some personal experiences that you talked to me about on the front line over inside of Ukraine. You know, there's been complaints from Ukrainian soldiers, American volunteers that were over fighting in Ukraine, that the Russians were using chemical weapons, particularly perchlorin. Did I pronounce that right?
Chloropicrin.
I always mess it up. Chloropicrin. Thank you very much. Chloropicrin. Have you experienced that over on the front lines in Ukraine? Two, what's it like? Because it sounds like to me that's what Iran is using on its own people.
I think I did. I mean, obviously, I didn't sit there. You know, I was kind of we didn't have like testing equipment, but something got on me that caused my skin to kind of, you know, barely kind of blister up wherever it was exposed. I couldn't stop coughing. I'd end up having to take like a steroid shot to kind of calm my lungs down, you know, so they'd stop freaking out. And it took me a couple of days to recover, but that was a very minimal, like whatever it was. We had heard something over the radio about, you know, guys seeing white clouds of stuff where we were going. And then that's where we went. And then I had, you know, an incident. So I think it was chloropicrin. It met the standards. And if that's what they're doing in like really heavy concentrations on civilians, it's pretty bad stuff. It's not tear gas. You know what I mean? It's not one of those things where you just go home and take a shower and then you're good. It could be pretty bad and it can cause some significant respiratory distress. If you have like kind of a already weakened, you know, respiratory system.
Yeah. It's one thing if you do it on a fit military guy that's kind of used to fighting on the front lines and run around in kit all day long, which by the way, also weakens you pretty significantly over time, but
yeah, you get tired.
It's one thing to experience it, but you brought up something in particular that I ended up seeing in a lot of the complaints, which was blistering of skin with chloropicrin. Mm-hmm. It ended up causing blistering on your skin. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had like a big rash on my, you know, neck or any of my skin that was exposed was screwed up. So that's what made me think it was something different than just like my lungs. Go ahead.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because people are describing it in a certain way over there. And before I just go and throw it out there, as I'm asking you about this, I want to know how you would describe it, because I feel like that's exactly what was used over inside of Iran and the Russians probably gave it to them.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, like I said, so my skin blistered up, which I'm assuming if I was, you know, inhaling it, the same thing was happening inside my lungs, right? Now, I got a very small dose of it. Like, we couldn't see it. You know what I mean? It was just, we heard about it in the area, or we heard about white clouds and stuff, and we had no idea if it was, you know, just the symptoms just started, right? So if that's a minor dose, but you're breathing in heavy doses of this into your lungs, and it's causing blistering in your lungs, then what can happen is you can have residual pneumonia from those blisters kind of bursting and then getting infected, and pneumonia, like residual fatalities later on, essentially.
Yeah, and that's basically what they're describing. You know, they're describing their lungs being on fire. They're describing skin blisters. They're describing all of those things. And they flat out say, this is something other than tear gas. Like, this is bad. I started getting hit up first thing in the morning, you know, when the reports came out, of people asked me, what is it and what can we do to help? Nate, I greatly want to thank you for coming on the show today and giving us all of your, you know, thoughts and opinions. And there's not too many people in this world that I could talk to that have actually been exposed to things like that and actually have a good world view. You know, speaking at the Warsaw Security Forum is not something that your average person gets to do. So thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you, man. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, you guys are welcome to find him over on X. He goes by @AdvancedNate, @AdvancedNate.
Now, this new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human, you love the green powder, super nutrient, the very best out there. Well, this is Optimal Human Nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen, which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. That's just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about a half bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Osmo Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha-GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers, high-quality electrolytes, and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel, that's the name of the product, isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off for life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, Optimal Human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds us, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. Just like I steered you right on politics. These products are incredible. Get our ultramethylene blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Just what I needed for my morning jog.
Working 12 to 13 hours a day, Mind Fuel keeps me on my toes and in the action.
Try this energy shot for a boost like no other. Power your mind and body today.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I'm hosting Matt Tardio is my name. You guys can find me over on X by simply searching my name or by searching AngerTab, A-N-G-E-R-T-A-B. Look forward to seeing you guys over there. We are taking calls for the next 25 minutes. You guys feel free to call in 867-789-2539. So far, over the last couple hours, we've gone over a heck of a lot. We've gone over transgenders receiving gender-affirming care and the absolute damage that it does to them. We spoke with Rich from Angry Cops, and we've had some great discussions taking call-ins from there. And we've talked with Nate Vance about war with Ron. I also mentioned things like silver. Whatever you guys have, whatever you guys want to talk about, feel free to call in. And right now, I'm going to bring up Chad from Minnesota. Chad, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, good evening, Matt.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Not too shabby today. Not too shabby.
Well, the previous callers about the situation here in Minneapolis, they hit the nail on the head in a lot of ways. And I'm just calling to just inform individuals that if people are heading this way and want to have the other side of the situation and, you know, have your thoughts be heard, which is great. I think that everybody should be able to come here. I'm just saying, and the people, the previous caller, the prosecutor, I believe from Florida, had indicated that, you know, there is an element here that people need to be aware of. And I truly believe that it's a J6 microcosm kind of feel here, where how lopsided the situation is. So when you come in here, just be very, very tight with what you have planned, because if it goes the wrong way, which I'm not saying the good side would come in here and do that, I'm just saying they're going to provoke. I mean, you know the situation here. Everybody knows the situation, but you just have to keep in mind, like, what happened with Jake Lang. If that would have been turned into a situation where Jake would have had to have, you know, or people around him had to get into some type of melee or something, he's going to be held accountable, and the other individuals are just going to be released. I mean, we know the judges, they're corrupt here. The judicial system is corrupt. You have the situation with the public figures. That's been going on for how long? And that doesn't seem to be really getting any, I don't see him gaining any traction on getting them held accountable anytime soon. I mean, the FBI's here, the subpoenas have been sent, they've been received, they confirmed it. There's all sorts of things. And if you look at it, you know, the governor brought in his National Guard and they were serving coffee and donuts at the Whipple Detention Center over in St. Paul to the individuals protesting over there. So it's just, you know, the situation is just, you know, hey, I'm all for be heard. But, you know, this situation, you know, it's just like these people aren't being trained. These people that are protesting, like Renee Good, regardless of that situation, her last words were, "I'm not mad at you." Okay, well, who were you mad at? And what were you doing down there? I mean, it's like saying, okay, so we know the thought process that goes in, and the public figures are saying legally and lawfully. Well, do they know what legally and lawfully means when there's a federal operation that your Minneapolis Police Department isn't containing, does not have roped off, and is properly saying, okay, you can protest from here? They don't have that.
No, they
barricade. So they're taking the law into their own hands.
No, man, they don't know. And as a matter of fact, like, you know, you said that they're not trained, but I would highly disagree with you. A lot of these people are trained. They're trained by leftist organizations. You know, like that's exactly what they are. I brought on Angela Rose, who the other day over on American Journal, who had kind of infiltrated and gone into one of these little terrorist networks, what I'm going to call a terrorist network. And they absolutely do receive training, you know, and they absolutely are well coordinated. I think there's a lot of information that suggests it. The problem is they're being trained to be cannon fodder. Right? Like this guy that ended up getting himself killed the other day, he was, in my opinion, likely trained. You know, we see him at multiple different locations being dispatched out. And it sounds like you're in Minnesota. Are you in Minnesota? Did I hear that right?
I am in Minnesota. And just to be clear, Minneapolis, yes, is a liberal cesspool. Outside of that, Minnesota's red. Maybe the Arrowhead up above, that's for different reasons. But, you know, it's the city that's bad.
Yeah, well, that was Oregon, right? Like, I was born and raised in Oregon, and over inside of Oregon, outside of the major metropolitan areas, you have a bunch of red, right? But the cities end up taking over, and they have a good chunk of the population is just shoved into these cities. And all of the people that are on the red side of the house end up having to have jobs and don't show up, you know, because they're working when it goes to these. And so I've actually heard complaints that when people are going out to these protests over inside of Minneapolis, that it's very hard to find anybody on their side, if you will. And I think that they've proven themselves time and time again. You know, when I was on the ground over inside Portland, I had people that would just come up to me because I was wearing an American flag hat or a thin blue line hat or an American flag something, you know, and they would just hate you for absolutely no reason. So just anybody going out there, just know that you can be very well assaulted for that. And there's a common saying, you know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6, but I don't think people understand how stupid those 12 people can be that are going to be judging you. especially when it comes to a self-defense case. You know, like, everybody's going to have their own bias. And the way that I try to explain this to people is, look at the amount of people that you probably cuss at in your head as you're driving down the road, right? As you're driving down the road and you're yelling and you're cussing at how dumb these other drivers are, just think the dumbest driver that you encounter today is probably going to be sitting on your jury. And that's who you're going to be up against, trying to convince them that you were in the right. So I appreciate you for calling in, man. Those are all valid points that you ended up bringing up. Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree with the training. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they aren't trained, but the problem is we don't know who's trained, who's not trained, what part of system they're in, what they're doing,
well, right,
who's involved, where the money's coming from. And I totally agree that they are trained to do things. I mean, even there was a gentleman from the military that just came out and said that he sees the insurgent style programs that are going on. So yeah, I totally agree. I'm just saying the public figures are saying, go out there and legally, to the people that are downtown Minneapolis, that, you know, there's 1,000 people that protested last Friday and it was peaceful. Oh, look, we're peaceful. Those people, yeah, they don't know the situation. The people that are getting injured, you know, they're getting tossed into this. And I'm not saying they're, you know, in the right. I'm just saying, like, there's just all sorts of people. Like you said, they're cannon fodder. So that's it. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, Matt.
They're all cannon fodder. Yeah, brother, man. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in. All right, before I get accused of just supporting the right and everything else and being that, I'm actually a constitutionalist at heart. I believe in the Constitution. I don't care with what you do with your own body. I don't like laws that are against the Constitution. I'll fight them every single time. But because people of the left are going to hate on me anyways, I'm just going to exercise some DEI, and we've had nothing but male callers. So let's go ahead and bring up a female caller. We got Sarah from Oklahoma on the other line. Ma'am, Sarah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, hello? Sarah. Yes, hi. I got you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, hi. It's so weird to let people know. It's so simple, actually, for people to understand this. The people who are actually funding these should be arrested. It's very easy to just go up to Soros and his son and to the guy in China who's sitting there, Singham, whoever he is. All these millionaires who are donating the money towards this first should be arrested. If they are arrested and taken in, then all this will just continue. Secondly, are CIA and FBI all involved in this? So please don't tell me we are trying to fight our own government, okay? They're not doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're looking the other way. They're turning their... Look, listen, you can go into Venezuela and grab Maduro and bring him here. But you can't go into Minnesota and grab Fry and Waltz and take him to jail. Come on. Come on. Who are you making stupid... We are not stupid people here. We see in front of our eyes exactly how the government is playing us. And we are allowing them to do it. What's going on in Texas? What's going on in Florida? Tell me something. Why is Trump not declaring the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization? It doesn't take investigation. Look around you. Look at the mosque. Look at all the Islamic centers coming up. I'm in Oklahoma, and I fought for Broken Arrow not to allow this to happen to our... Of course, it's already here. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of mosques already here. But why is Trump not taking action? Tell me. Why is he not paying attention to what's going on within America? Why is he paying attention to everybody else outside America? Syria, give it to India, Japan. I can name all the damn countries he's worried about.
Ma'am,
but he's
you're
not worried up about
pretty,
our own country.
You're breaking up pretty bad, but I did enjoy your rant and your statement when you're saying, don't tell me we can't rip Maduro out of Venezuela, but we can't go in and grab Waltz and Fry and get their butts out of there, right? Difference is we have U.S. citizens, and we already had charges levied against Maduro, and so that they had the legal ability to go in and get them, right? And they're currently building their case against Waltz and Fry. Coming up on February 3rd is when all of the subpoenas, I believe, at least for Jacob Fry, his subpoena for his office to produce documents and also to show up and actually testify to those documents, is actually coming through. And I would be really surprised if we didn't get something out of that. And I very much look forward to that. And I think that's also why we ended up having Waltz come back and say, yeah, we're going to start towing the party line a little bit, because I think he knows he's cooked. I think he knows he's got him. I learned a long time ago not to argue with anybody or try to convince them when they say, you can't tell me or you will never be able to convince me. Anybody that ever tells me that their mind's already made up. So I'm not even going to address the CIA comment. I'm not going to address like our own government being involved in it. Obviously, there's government officials that are involved in this crap. Let's just be perfectly clear about it. Right? Like there is clearly government officials, at least at the state level, involved over inside of Minnesota. But whether or not people inside the federal government are involved is going to be the real question. And that is what I really look forward to hearing. Ilhan Omar, for example. Yeah, she's probably involved. And when you have $20 billion is the last figure I heard Trump put out, $20 billion worth of fraud, that greases a lot of different wheels. And when you have somebody in office, as long as you did like Barack Obama, and then you have a short little break and then you have Biden jump in there right immediately after, like the 4 years of Trump in between Obama and Biden isn't enough to clear all of the trash out. And so I have no doubt a lot of these people are getting overhead coverage from somewhere. And you just got to be patient and take time. If we're going to sit here and claim to be on the side of the Constitution and claim to be on the side of what's right, then we can't just go arrest people without having the proper paperwork done, unfortunately. And with that, ma'am, I want to thank you for calling in. I really wish you were coming through a heck of a lot more clear, because I know Oklahoma's got a lot of issues going on. You guys are not too far where you said outside from Dallas, and I used to go over there from time to time. It's really sad what's happening. But yes, the Muslim Brotherhood, I know for a fact they are looking at the Muslim Brotherhood as we speak. I think we're coming up towards the end of the timeline on the determination whether or not they are going to be declared an FTO or a foreign terror organization. And it needs to happen. It needs to happen, in my opinion. When we go all the way back to, like late 2000 court cases when they were named as co-conspirators, and the I forget the name of those nut jobs down in Texas that was funding Hamas. But yeah, I mean, it's the Holy Land Five or whatever it was. They ended up getting named in that. So I think they need looked into it. I think it needs to happen. They're based out of Egypt. Egypt's a BRICS nation, but for some reason we give a bunch of money to freaking Egypt. Like at some point we need to cut this stupidity off, and we need to actually start taking care of our own country, and we need to start, calling it what it is. Look, the Second Amendment isn't absolute. None of your constitutional rights in this country are absolute, right? Like your Second Amendment, right? If you want to carry in a certain states, the Supreme Court's already said, look, you might have to get a concealed carry permit. You want to buy a gun, you might have to get a background check. Same thing when it goes to protesting. You got to do it legally. You can't just run into a movie theater and scream fire. Somebody gets trampled. You can get your butt sued, right? Like words have consequences. It's not an absolute right. And it should be the same for religion. If your religion is teaching to kill people, then it's not a religion. It is a death cult, and it needs to get looked into, right? Like at least say that these particular verses are not okay. And you cannot preach this in America. You can't preach that it's okay for your religion to overthrow our country. That's not a religion. That's not okay. And that's what's taking place in some of the mosques over here in the United States of America. I've heard and I've seen the clips. They're real. So, ma'am, I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move on. I want to bring up Cody from Alberta. Very curious, Cody from Alberta. Where it is are you calling in from, sir? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll move on and we'll go over to Bart from Georgia. Bart, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Matt, I want to talk about these riots, and this can be easily stopped. Look at what Japan does. When they're disorders here, they spray them down with blue dyed water, and then the rest next day they go and find everybody's dyed blue and arrest them. ICE and Border Patrol should use wintertime to their advantage. Spray these people down with water. Just tell them, we give you 1 minute, we're going to spray you down with water, and then tough. After that, and number two, they should pull back from these current operations and start massive checkpoints and ask every person, are you an American citizen? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I could see your point with using water and using the cold to your advantage, but here's a problem. And I say this as a guy that's been hypothermic numerous times in my life. It absolutely sucks and it's not fun. But, last time I got hypothermic, I was in SEER school. I was thrown inside of a tiny cage and being squirted down with water, being told to scream like a little girl. And I was a fit adult male at the peak of my physical fitness levels that had been starved for God only knows how long of sleep and food. But I want you to look at the average American in this country, right? And I agree with you that we need to make water cannons great again over here in America, right? But when you start talking about negative 20 degree weather and we start blasting people with ice cold water or any water or even hot water for that matter, it's negative 20 degree weather. It's freezing cold over there, man. You hit those people, that can get looked at as lethal force. It can cause serious and or great bodily injury, right? It'd be the same thing as shooting somebody, for lack of better terms, in that type of weather. I wish that they ended up coming out with some sort of a dye that we wouldn't have to worry about that. and then go and start arresting those knuckleheads. I absolutely think the government should do more. As a matter of fact, I think they could do something without even having to do that and bring that up, brother. I think that they could set up a quick reactionary force. You can get the National Guard in there to go cordon off the area, declare it an unlawful assembly, and just literally put their freaking, you know, nose to the grindstone and just start arresting people. Have as many zip cuffs on hand as you know, 10 times that as you got officers, and just start slapping cuffs on everybody and start taking them in and processing them. And instead of releasing them, actually make them sit there and go through the dang process. It is appalling to me how much crap is getting away. Like, this is what happens when you have a lawless society in this country. This is what happens when you don't enforce laws, period. If we don't enforce laws, we end up having like mass chaos. These laws are being enforced in all sorts of other states with very minimal issues. But for some reason, inside of Minneapolis, where we have a governor, where we have mayors, where we have a mayor of St. Paul that refuses to even acknowledge that people's civil rights were violated and instead tries to stand up for the rioters that break into the church, insurrectionists, whatever you want to call them, and they start screaming in people's faces, causing babies to cry. When you have that happen, those people need charges built on them first. You start cutting the head off the snake, and at the same time, you start scooping up everybody on the street. These things happening is unreal, and it needs to get solved, man. So I don't know if you're even still there, but that's how I feel about it. I'm sick and tired of it. Just literally start punishing to the max extent of law. Just make it happen, Captain. I want to bring in Colby from Kansas. Colby from Kansas. Colby, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So
what you got for me today?
What I was going to say is, first off, speak the truth supporter right here. Thought I'd hop in and, you know, support what you're doing here. I'm glad that you're reaching out to other platforms and all that and spreading the good word.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
But my point that I wanted to make is that it's so ridiculous, that, you know, the Democrats are actively pushing these rioters to commit more and more violence towards these ICE agents when they see what's happening. Escalation is getting these people killed, and, you know, they're actively advocating for their voter base to, you know, take the room temperature challenge. That's how I see it. And that's
why do you think that is?
Like,
why do you think they're doing that?
Just to create, the conditions in which they have something to cry about. They always want something to cry about, and they want to have some sort of agenda to push. So they use these people as, you know, talking points, essentially, to, you know, convey their agenda towards these mentally ill, you know, leftists, you know.
Well, I mean, I've got a reason to think
they're teetering on the edge.
I've got a reason to think that they're doing it. And I think it's one, to create more violence and chaos so that they can push their own agendas and keep themselves in office, because then they could push different stocks and everything else and line their pockets. You can have Ilhan Omars that open up their own, you know, wine factories underneath their husband that ain't worth a dime, that all of a sudden are worth millions, that doesn't just disappear off the map out of nowhere, which, by the way, I'm not sure how the vast majority of Islam views Ilhan Omar, owning an alcohol company, but I'm pretty sure that's not good. You're not allowed to do that. That's bad, 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 bad Muslim. Don't do that. You're not supposed to be drinking alcohol. You're not supposed to be dang sure producing it and freaking giving it out to everybody else, at least to the best of my knowledge and my understanding. So how that goes, but I think it improves their voter base. I think it gives them fuel. I think it gives them plenty of fuel to just pour on the fire, and you just keep pouring gas on the fire. And they use these people like cannon fodder. They don't care about them. It's like when I had Corey on earlier, you know, all these people that are claiming to care about human lives and humanity, but they're all for open borders. And you have 80%. Isn't that the figure he gave? 80% of women crossing the border are getting raped. You can't tell me that you care about people when you have 80% of the women being smuggled across the border, getting raped. Where is their outrage there? They don't care, man. They quite literally don't care. Well, Colby, appreciate you jumping in here, brother, and thank you for showing the support. Love you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, brother. All right, I want to bring up Brian from San Antonio. Brian, sir, how are you today?
What's up, Matt? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
Hey, it's Ross.
Oh, yeah, I recognize the voice, man. Of course, yeah. What's going on, friend?
So yeah, I was trying to get a hold of you earlier when you had Rich on, because to talk about the good incident and the Alex thing. Mm-hmm. I saw some more information about Alex, Pretty or Freddy, whatever his last name is.
Yep.
I saw a video where he was spitting on either ICE or Border Patrol, and then he kicked out a taillight. If you want me to send it to you, I can. And
oh yeah, please send me him kicking out a taillight, please. I would love to put that on blast.
I think it's from the day he got his ribs broken, but I'm not too sure.
Beautiful.
I'm gonna do more research on that.
Hold on, I think they got it up on the screen right here. Yep, there's him spitting. Yeah, he's just a real winner. There he goes, kicking out the... did he break it? Yeah, there he goes, breaking the taillight. Yeah. What an idiot, man. That's why he got his ribs broken. Wouldn't you know it? Imagine that.
There's a person on Discord that wants to debate you one-on-one.
All right, well, maybe we'll do that, man. I think we'll end up doing that a little bit later on my show.
Yeah, I told him try to call in onto here and maybe debate you, but... Maybe later on. I told him to come on.
Yeah. I mean, I would have debated the guy. You know me. I'll debate anybody. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well,
Ross, man, I appreciate you telling me about that video. I can't believe I haven't seen that yet. All right, brother, man. I'll talk to you later.
Speak the truth. That'd be awesome, too.
Will do, my friend. Will do. All right. I'm going to bring up Don from Oklahoma. Don, can you hear me, sir? We got about a minute to go, so we're going to make it quick. I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm a mess. But anyway, today, Trump, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he can't seem to say, he used to say, oh, you're fired. He needs to say that to Pam Bondi and that Todd Blanche, the assistant DA. And, you know, these... illegals coming in here, they just need to put a bounty on them and locations, like where are they at? And people know that stuff. And it's clear Democrats and Republicans don't like all these foreigners coming in here that are unable to assimilate to our country. And they need a... They used to have a civics class in school.
Yeah.
I remember. I had them. And,
yes,
and
sir.
It's like, I don't think a lot of people have an appreciation for the system we had. And we're
No, sir, they don't. They really, really don't. And I want to appreciate you for calling in and say goodbye to you before we end up getting cut off here. But I agree with you. There needs to be a bounty put on these people. There needs to be. Instead of giving them $1,000 to self-deport or the Christmas bonus to self-deport, imagine what would happen if they would have said, you know what, Americans? We're going to give you money for accurate information leading to the detainment and deportation of an illegal alien inside of the United States of America. I could have built a whole business center.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.